Alhamdulillah. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, our deen, Islam, through the messengers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, and finally Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, have all informed the people that the world is going to come to an end one day. They all, from Adam alayhi salam to Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all informed the people that the world is going to come to an end one day. This in Arabic is called, or in the Quran, is called As-Sa'ah, meaning the last hour. As-Sa'ah means time. It means time, literally. But when we say As-Sa'ah, what we mean Islamically is the last hour. The last time. The time when the world will end. And it is called As-Sa'ah because it is unknown. That's why it is called the time, or the hour, or the last hour, because nobody knows when it's going to come. Nobody knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And in the long hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, where Jibreel alayhi salam entered one day, and in the form, in the shape of a man, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered in the shape of a man. And he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most mannerable way that a person can sit in front of their teacher. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, none of us knew this man. And he didn't look like he had been traveling. And none of us knew him. And so it was amazing, what kind of a man was this? What kind of a man this is? Subhanallah. And he had very dark black beard and hair. Subhanallah. And he was wearing very white clothing. Where did this man just pop up from? No one knows. And he doesn't look like he's been traveling. And he looks so clean. Subhanallah. And obviously they didn't know that it was Jibreel alayhi salam. Until the end of the story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that that was Jibreel alayhi salam. Anyway, he sat as a man in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him many questions about Islam, teaching the companions about Islam. And he asked him about the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman, what a Muslim should believe in. And then he asked him about the pillars of something called Al-Ihsan. Al-Ihsan, that is another level of rising closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Al-Ihsan. That is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if you can see Him. But although you know you cannot see Him, know that He sees you wherever you go. That is Al-Ihsan. It's another level. So when we're praying, we're reading our salah, we're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is if you can see Allah. Knowing that you cannot see Him, but you must bear in mind, know that He is watching you. Subhanallah. And He knows what you are thinking. Subhanallah. And then Jibreel alayhi salam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the final question. He said, "Mata sa'a? Mata sa'a? When is the sa'a? When is this hour? When is this time?" Meaning the end of the world. When is this world going to be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, "The person you are asking knows more min as-sa'il than the questioner." Meaning, in other words, he said, "You are asking me, I don't know any more than you. No one knows when the last hour is. Not even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or even Jibreel alayhi salam knows when the last hour is coming. No one knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran to Musa alayhi salam, he says, "Inna sa'ata atiyatun akadu ukhfiha litujiza kullu nafsin bima tas'a." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the last hour is gonna come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa alayhi salam that the last hour is gonna come. It's very soon. It's gonna come. Akadu ukhfiha. Go to this surah, Surah Taha. Akadu ukhfiha. I am still hiding it away from everyone's knowledge. No one is meant to know when it's gonna happen, when it's gonna come. Why? Litujiza kullu nafsin bima tas'a. So that people can be rewarded justly for the good work, for the work they do. Subhanallah. So that people, they can be rewarded justly for the work they do. So death, you know, al-maut, death, we don't know when it's going to happen. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. There is nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And nobody knows on which land you're going to die. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow, and you don't know where, on which land you're going to die. And when is the world coming to an end? We don't know when it's going to happen. Because otherwise, people just leave their good work till the end. Subhanallah. They will murder and cheat and rape and do harm and just leave their repentance till the end. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah knows. Subhanallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do our good work justly. And He wants to reward us for Jannah fairly, for those who really earn it. And there are many other reasons. Subhanallah. Then Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Ma amaratuha." He's still talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's sitting in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he asked him, Rasulullah, "Ma amaratuha? What are its signs? Are there any signs that tell us that it's going to come very close?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yes. What are the signs that tell us that Qiyamah is near? There must be some signs. Nobody knows when, but there must be some signs to show us that when you see these things happening, you see those things happening, know that Qiyamah is close, is near." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave him two signs among many. He says, "An talidu al-amata rabbataha." When you see the woman gives birth to her master. Subhanallah. It's true. You want to see your masters today. You want to see your masters today. Look at the children. You will live for them. Subhanallah. You live for mobile phone, ma hadir. This ala ras wa ain. Subhanallah. And if you do something wrong, khalas. You do something small, wrong, it's khalas. Mom, I'm not going to speak to you today. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Children, they will become, if you like, the word, overpowering against their own parents. They will hit them, disobey them, they will overpower them, and they will make themselves authority over them. Subhanallah. It's happening. We see it happening. Subhanallah. We're bossing our own parents. Even in the companies, we see them. Subhanallah. The father tells us, shh, I'm the one who's running the show. You go home and sleep. I'm running the show here. Subhanallah. So they will make themselves authority over their own parents. Throw them in places. Subhanallah. You know, become ungrateful towards their parents. And there is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the hour will come when people will start cursing their own fathers. This is a sahih hadith. People will curse their own fathers. It's happening, subhanallah. The companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can a person curse his own father? How can a person curse his own parents? Because it was strange to them. It was something new. They say, how can you curse your own parents? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, they will curse. A person will curse another person's parents, father, subhanallah, and so the other person will curse that person's father in return. Subhanallah. That didn't usually, it was not that time, it was not happening. It was strange. It didn't used to happen that time, subhanallah. But today it's happening, subhanallah. Even men cursing their own themselves, cursing their own parents, cursing their own fathers, all the time. May your father be cursed. May your father be doomed. Subhanallah. The mother says it to her son. Every time she gets upset with him, little Abuk, even your father. The mother cursing her own son. Subhanallah. Little Abuk, even your father. Cursing your father. And the father will say to his own children, may your father be cursed. So they'll be cursing themselves and cursing their fathers too. Subhanallah. You know what is lan? Lan. You know what lan means? That's why the sahaba said lan to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You curse them? How can you curse your own father? How can you curse your own mother? Lan, the word lan in Arabic, in Islamic terms, it means, Islamically, la'an, the curse. It means, may, on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his mercy to everyone, may your father not have mercy on that day. That is la'an in Arabic. May your father be doomed forever. You see how terrible, the word la'an is very terrible. Terrible. It is a terrible thing, subhanallah. We mustn't say that lan. You know, be in the habit of cursing our parents or somebody's parents. It is not good, subhanallah. And I just want to mention something here. You see, in Islam, if you curse, say lan to an object, in the hadith it says, if you even curse an object, something that doesn't have ruh in it, right? The lan, the curse will return back to the person who said it. Or if you curse someone, you say lan to someone who really doesn't deserve the lan. What happens? The lan, the curse will return back to the person who said it. And if it doesn't find that person qualifies for this lan, it will return back to you. So you curse somebody, it will go. It will check. Does he really deserve this? If he doesn't, then it will return back to you. Subhanallah. So be very careful with that word, among other words including the word kufr to other Muslims. You know, saying you are a kafir and so on. You know, people, we in the habit, we say to other Muslims, hey, you know that one? That sheikh is a kafir. Isn't we say that in the habit? You mustn't say that, subhanAllah. It is very dangerous. Especially when the person, knowing the person who took the shahada, he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul, and you call him a kafir, is dangerous. The land, it will return back to you, subhanAllah. Anyway, the other sign the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, you will see that the shepherds, Bedouins, nomad shepherds, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be these Bedouins. They didn't really have homes. You know, they had tents out in the deserts. And they used to be barefooted. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will see these Bedouins. In Arabic, they're called Al-A'rabi. SubhanAllah. You will see, they will become rich. Although in the hadith, it doesn't say rich, but that's what it means. They will become rich, that they will build high buildings in the sky. Very, very high buildings. SubhanAllah. The Bedouins today, our ulama, our scholars tell us, refer to the places like the Emirates and the surrounding place. If you look at Dubai today, these people, few hundred years back, were exactly that. The shepherds, nomad shepherds, Al-A'rabi, the Bedouins. Even at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only in the past few years, they are now building highest, tallest buildings in the world, subhanAllah, in Dubai. For those who travel, those who have been to Dubai, you know what I'm talking about. You see this highest, they say the tallest buildings in the world is in Dubai, isn't it? I heard, subhanAllah, the tallest towers in the world, they say it is in Dubai. Highest, tallest buildings. Even in Makkah, the clock towers, those two towers, 1 kilometer up in the sky. Imagine, 1 kilometer up in the sky. SubhanAllah. So these are the alamat, these are the signs of the last hour. There are 10 major signs of the last hour that we know of. And during these 10 major signs, subhanAllah, the minor signs are still happening. The minor signs are still happening. More minor signs are still coming up. So don't think that when the minor signs end, the major signs begin. No. It's just that the majority of the minor signs would have ended. And then the major signs begin. But within that time, there is still some minor things happening. SubhanAllah. And Ad-Dajjal, who is the deceiver? Ad-Dajjal, the deceiver who comes out, is a real human being. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us to protect us against him, Ad-Dajjal will not be there, particularly destroying your homes physically or harming you physically. Although his army would do that, but that's not how he gains victory. The way he gains victory in those 40 days that he stays on earth, according to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he gains victory is through fitan. Fitan are like trials. Trials that play with your mind. Your mind, they play with your psychology. They play with your psyche. They make you see things that are not there. And they really play with poverty. Because he got the powers to stop the rain and to stop the earth from growing for you, and so on. So you will fall into poverty and it becomes very difficult for you. It will become a very difficult life for you. That's called fitan. SubhanAllah. So you either follow him and live, you know, like, you know, take care of your family and live properly, or you give up and give up your deen, or you hold on to your deen and struggle through those 40 days. SubhanAllah. So these are the trials, the fitan of Ad-Dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitan of a Dajjal. And many people, especially other Muslims, those with weak iman, they're going to fall trap into his, into shaitan, into what? A Dajjal. Because it is going to be a very severe trial, fitan, that a person with weak iman, he will believe that he is indeed Allah. He's a deceiver. So, but he got all the powers. And people have been in a situation where there's poverty, hungry. And he got all the powers. He will come to you, you know, I am Allah. I can, you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're poor. I'll make you rich. And he will indeed make you rich. And he will call you, you know, like, tell me, where is your father's grave? You know, the grave of your father. Subhanallah. Where is he? And then he will take you to your father's grave. And he will call his name, and you see your father rising from the grave. But it's not him, it is a jinn. Both a jinn, they can take the form of any human being. So the jinn, those with working with the Dajjal, don't take the form of your father, and you'll be deceived, and you say, indeed, you are Allah. You are doomed, finished. And you lose your iman. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us ways to protect ourselves from a Dajjal. And this is a long topic, and inshallah, on our next Jummah, inshallah, I will continue with the topic of Ad-Dajjal and Ya'juj wa Ma'juj and other trials, inshallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other narrations, he said the last hour when it comes, it will be on a Friday. It will be on a Friday, the last hour, Qiyamah, and it will be in the month of Muharram. Subhanallah. Don't be scared. I'm not saying that yet. This month, Qiyamah is going to happen. No. It will be, when the Qiyamah comes, it will be on a Friday, and it will be in the month of Muharram. And Alhamdulillah, today it is the first of Muharram. Alhamdulillah. And the Muharram, it is the first month of Islamic calendar, as we know, known as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the sacred months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ منها أربعة حرم, four are sacred, meaning the Dhul Hijjah, Dhul Qadah, Muharram, and Rajab, subhanallah. And the 10th of Muharram is the most sacred day among its days of the Muharram, known as the day of Ashura. And fasting on the day of Ashura, meaning the 10th, we don't fast only on the 10th, to differ from the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to Medina, he saw the Yahudi fasting on that day. He asked him, why are you fasting? They said, this is the day Allah saved us from Fir'aun. So we're fasting in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we are more closer to Musa than you. So he said to the Muslims that we will fast, but we will differ from the Jews. We will fast, it's either the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and the 11th. It is the 10th is the day of Ashura. So you fast on the day, on the 10th of Muharram, subhanallah, it will wipe away your minor sins of the past year. All your minor sins you've committed in the past year are all forgiven, subhanallah. May Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let this new Hijri year begin with goodness and make it a year of blessings, virtue, and righteousness in this life and in the hereafter. And may each year bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can now read our sunnah, subhanahu.